Good morning and welcome to TBP Talks. This is the first episode of 2019, so we are super excited to be back. And today I'm thrilled to be joined by Samantha Hadady, a health and food journalist and an incredible content creator. And she is here with me now. Hello.
Hello, it's lovely to meet you.
Oh, you too. How are you?
I'm okay, actually.
Good.
Really good, thank you.
Good. So for those who maybe don't know you as well as we do at the Blogger Programme, tell us a bit about yourself and your journey, because you sort of stumbled into health and fitness, didn't you?
Absolutely,
and nutrition.
Yeah.
So maybe take us back to the early days.
So I'm a trained journalist. That's what I did when I finished university. It's what I did when I started university. So I started out in newspapers, and I did that, I think, for about a year before I got a job at the BBC on their trainee scheme.
Oh, fantastic.
So then I did that, and then I did bits and bobs in radio, online, and TV work. And then I just kind of stumbled out of it, really. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I didn't really know where to go. So I took a job in PR, didn't really enjoy it, wasn't really for me. And then I just left everything thinking, oh, I'll become an author. I've always wanted to be an author ever since I was a little girl. It just never happened. I don't think I was in the right place at that time. And then I just started blogging. I just started taking photos. And it just happened from there.
So what was it that initially drew your attention to food? Or maybe when was it that you decided that healthy eating was the way forward?
When I was younger, I had issues with eating. Severe issues or anything like that. I mean, I think a lot of women and men now, they can probably relate to that. So I used to see food as the enemy. And then I kind of, in my 20s, it's difficult to remember the exact time or pinpoint it. But in my 20s, I started reading more about nutrition, about food, and about the effects sugar in particular has on the diet.
Yeah.
So I did that. I read about that, and then I cut sugar out completely. And I was amazed. Honestly, everything changed. And just my weight changed, my skin changed, my moods changed, because I'd suffered with depression and things when I was younger as well. And I was just like, I honestly could not believe the difference it made on everything. That began like a lifelong love affair, if you like.
Yeah.
I just found it really, really interesting and just incredible at what difference it could make on you. So then that was the initial moment, and then it just grew from there, really.
And did you start blogging about sort of that journey of cutting out sugar and changing your diet?
Not so much like that. I should do. But I always used to think, oh, people won't find me interesting. People won't find what I have to say very interesting. But I used to do recipes and things like that. And in the early days, honestly, it was so embarrassing. Like, my photos were terrible.
Really?
If I look back at them now, it's just like, oh my gosh. So I started doing that. And then I did unhealthy foods at that time as well, because I still really do believe that everyone should have treats now and again. And
everything in moderation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then I think my natural interests are in health and nutrition. So then I just kind of focused on that.
Yeah, pinpointed that.
It just went from there.
Oh, fantastic. Well, now, if you look at your Instagram, you can see that you are a fantastic cook. And I think what makes you stand out to us as an influencer is it's not only your recipes, but it's the amazing photography skills. It's
Thank
the presentation you. Of the food. So was that sort of presentation important to you? And do you think that's what's helped you grow such a loyal following?
I do think it is now. When I first started out, like I said, my photos are absolutely terrible. I don't know anything technically about photography, which is probably a terrible thing for me to admit, but it was all a learning curve for me.
Yeah.
So I started literally at the very, very bottom. My photos were so basic.
And you taught yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I learned from Instagram, really. I looked at other people's pictures and thought, why do I like them? What is attractive about them? And then I just started slowly implementing it into my own photos.
That's fantastic.
And then, like, even a year ago, I think my photos from a year ago, I don't like looking at now, because I just think
they're not up to scratch.
Yeah. So I hope that in a year's time, I'll think that about the photos that I take now. I just always want to keep growing.
Keep improving.
Yeah, and developing.
No, that's fantastic. And you've also got your blog, Nourished Naturally.
Yes.
I love that name.
Thank
I just
you.
Think it's great. So what can your followers find on your blog that's maybe different to your Instagram?
More recipes, to be honest. I mean, I always intend to write recipes into my actual Instagram posts, but then usually having three children, I'm dashing about doing things here, there and everywhere.
Yeah, of course.
And so Instagram is just literally type, send, done. So there's the recipes and things on my blog, and I want to get a little bit better at writing actual articles, because like I said, that's where my roots lie in journalism and things like that, and go a bit more into depth into nutrition and things. But again, it's a time thing and it's something I need to get better at.
So. Of course. And where do you get your inspiration from for your recipes? Is it totally sort of you create them? Do you find other people inspiring and you sort of adapt theirs? And I also know that you're vegan, aren't you? So yes, we'll touch on that. But are all your recipes plant-based?
They are now. They didn't used to be when I started out. Again, that was something I kind of stumbled into, and I am vegan myself. When I started out, I did eat meat.
Yes.
And then, like I say, it just happened. I mainly focus on sweet treats and things because I have got a sweet tooth.
I think as well it relates to people as well, because yeah. I don't know anyone that doesn't have a sweet tooth.
I know, so I feel like if you think, how can you not like chocolate?
Yeah. So if you can have it in a healthy version, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, definitely. So that is my weakness. But I do breakfasts and dinners as well. But I'd like to put more savoury options on the blog as well, and just... Because like I said, I have a lot of sweet treats, but I need more savoury as well on there.
So what was it that made you turn vegan? Obviously, it was a hugely debated topic last year. I'm sure it will still be this year. And people have very strong opinions about whether it's good, whether it's not good. What was it that made you decide to go vegan? And is it difficult to cater? I know you've got a family of three boys, husband. Are they plant-based? Do you have to cook separately for them? How do you sort of work it out?
On the whole... it's hard to say, because I don't necessarily tend to eat with my boys at the moment, unless it's like at the weekends and things, and then it's more of a sit down family thing. Because at the moment we tend to eat later at night, and they eat, you know, before they go to bed kind of thing. So at the moment it doesn't affect things too much. Me and Amir, my other half, what we tend to do is we tend to cook something, and then because he's not vegan at all, he'll add meat to it. I'll add tofu or chickpeas or whatever it is that I fancy to it. So we have like a base. And then
that's a really good combination. Yeah. So you've got your base for the food or for the meal.
There's no way I could get him to stop eating meat. There's just absolutely no way.
Oh really?
so that's how we tend to do it. So it's not that difficult, and to be honest, I think it works for us.
You make it work.
Yeah, but it might not work for everyone.
And what was the reason that you did decide to go down the plant-based route?
So that was like a slow process, really. It started a few years ago. I wrote an article for a client. It was about the chicken and egg industry.
Yes.
And to start with, I mean, I've always been interested in animals. I've always been, obviously, really anti-animal cruelty or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I was a vegetarian when I was younger. I just fell out of that habit. So I was researching an article into the chicken and egg industry. And honestly, I was horrified. And I don't know whether I was naive or whether I just chose to just ignore those things, which I hope not, but you know, so I don't know whether it's that, but reading everything that happened, I was horrified. I heard about sexing and everything like that, and which I'd never heard of or even thought about before, and I was just, it just the reality really, really hit home for me. So there was that, and then I read a book called How Not to Die.
I think I've heard of that. I think a lot of people have read that.
It's my Bible. It's the most amazing book. It is a huge...
It's huge. Yes, I know exactly which one you mean.
So you look at it.
It's the green and white version.
Yes, it is that one, yeah. So you think, oh my gosh, it's huge. You're going to need like a whole lifetime. But I slowly read it over quite a few months. And I had never considered before that I always thought that meat was healthy. You know, I've always been told that eating high protein... like lean meats is really, really good for you. You needed to do it. Eat a lot of fish, eggs, everything like that. Because I was always big into exercise as well. And this was the first time I'd actually thought, maybe it's not that good for me. Maybe it isn't doing what I think it is for my body. And then combine that with the animal cruelty side, I was like, hang on a minute, what am I doing?
Yeah. And you were happy to make that lifestyle change.
Yeah, so initially I did go vegan. It didn't work for me at first. I mean, technically I was eating really, really healthily. I was eating lots of lentils, loads of fruit, veg, everything like that, tofu, chickpeas, you name it. But I really, really struggled. I mean, maybe it was having those three small boys, but I was just, I felt so tired all the time. So I was like, right, I'm gonna have to stop, rethink it.
Yeah.
And so in the end, I eased myself in. I started cutting back on meat, started cutting back on dairy, eggs. Then I became vegetarian.
Oh, okay. So you slowly
and then, yeah, and then I
made sort of weaned yourself off it. Okay.
And that worked for me.
Oh, okay. Well, if anyone's thinking of considering that, then that's maybe a great way to go.
Definitely. And I'm not one of these people that would ever say to someone, quit meat, don't eat meat.
Yeah.
I think it's a choice you have to make for yourself. And I think it's really important you do that.
Yeah.
But if you were thinking of it, that's what worked for me. Again, it might not work for everybody, and I don't think that everybody can probably be vegan. But
it's something that's worked for you.
Yeah, and I absolutely love it. I feel really healthy. And
that's great.
And yeah, I enjoy it.
Oh, great. So what changes have you noticed to the food industry since you started becoming interested in nutrition? Because I think studies nowadays are sort of slowly starting to reveal how closely our overall health is linked to our gut.
Yes,
and
definitely.
You know, sort of the saying, you are what you eat. It really is true. So what have you noticed in the industry that's changed and that people are sort of more aware of?
I mean, there's been a big shift. I'm probably going to show my age here, but when I was in my 20s, it's all about the low fat, high sugar diets, you know. So again, show my age. So that to now come full circle where sugar is demonized and everything like that, that's a massive change for me. I mean, I realized it, like I said, that was the first realization I made before becoming, well, I don't like saying healthy eating, but you know, before learning about nutrition, I guess.
Yeah.
So that in itself has been a massive change. And then, like you said, there's been a big focus on gut health. I mean, that's something that a lot of people probably hadn't even considered, like just a few years ago, let alone.
I feel like it is a really new
something I find revelation. Fascinating.
I
guess there's more and more research to come. I think there's still is stuff they're still researching and things. I do believe in gut health. I mean, I aim to eat 10 portions of fruit and veg every day just to get in that variety and aim to eat lots of different foods. And I do take my probiotics, but again, I know it's not all research tested at the moment and stuff, but it's so interesting. And then there's this shift towards veganism now as well, which, you know, a few years ago, people still, you know, it was all about meat and the protein and, you know, lifting weights and things.
Absolutely.
So it's just a complete shift again. Who knows what the next few years hold? I honestly don't know, but it's exciting. And I'm really, really happy that it's become more mainstream. It's okay to eat healthily now, and it's widely accepted. You don't get strange looks so much anymore.
No, not at all. And actually, I was going to say, have you noticed in restaurants and cafes that the choice is so
it's
much
amazing.
Better? So do you find it easy to eat out being vegan?
I do in cities. So in places like London and cities like, I'm from the Midlands, so like Leicester and Birmingham, it's quite easy there. But I live in a small town and it's not so easy.
There's
only one place in the whole town that serves vegan food.
Really?
But I have found that if I phone takeaway restaurants, for example, there are some people that are like, yep, we'll make you anything. It'll be fine. So it's fine. But
so it's coming just more towards your content creation.
Yes.
So your Instagram, I mean, it is fantastic. Everyone needs to go and check out your Instagram because it's just beautiful and it
Thank
makes me
so
hungry
much.
Every time I look at it. How has content creation become a full-time thing for you now?
Yes, definitely.
It has. Yeah. So how did that transition happen, or sort of how has food and nutrition given you these opportunities?
It happened by accident, to be honest.
Fine, you can be honest.
If anybody ever told me that I'd be doing this for a job, I would have laughed. So what really happened was once I left the PR world and things, and like I said, I wanted to be an author, and then that just, it wasn't the right time. It's still something I want to pursue, but it wasn't the right time for me, I don't think, then. So I just kind of fell into doing bits and bobs, writing articles for clients and things. I mean, my first client was Lucy B Coconut Oil when they were starting out.
Oh, okay,
well.
Yeah.
So I did the journalism side of things for them, and then I added others to that. And then because I seemed to just work with health food brands, I think it just kind of naturally, and I had an interest in cooking and things anyway, it just kind of spiraled from there, really. So I just kind of fell into the recipe side, the photography side, and then, like I said, the photography side is something that initially I knew nothing about.
But I guess so important for
absolutely.
Showcasing what you can do.
Definitely. I think it is really important because especially things like Instagram, it is a visual place. But again, like I said, I knew nothing, and you know, it's worked out okay. You just learn on the job, you just teach yourself, and it's all good.
That's great. So you've worked on quite a few campaigns with the Blogger Programme. You've worked for Schwartz, you've done Tesco's, you've done Wicked Kitchen. So for maybe influencers that are listening, that are food influencers or kind of aspire to do that, how would you suggest is the best way for them to sort of present their work to then be approached by brands?
I'd say be willing to work really hard and be willing initially maybe to not work for anything at all. I'm not saying like if a brand approaches you, just do it for free. Just follow what you want to do. Build up your own profile, your own community, if you like, because that's how I see it. It's like a community on Instagram. And just curate your own feed. Make sure it's visually appealing, but make sure it's something that you really like as well, so when you look at it you feel happy or you can feel proud of it, and build it from there really. It doesn't happen overnight. Well, it didn't for me anyway. I guess for some people it really does actually. But be willing to put in those hours, be willing to put in that work, and it will pay off. It will happen, and you keep growing, you keep getting better, and like I said, I hope I keep growing as well.
Absolutely.
I hope in a year's time, you know, I look back on this and think, wow, I've grown so much.
Yeah.
But honestly, anybody really, they genuinely really can do it. Like I said, I came from it with not a clue how to use a camera, not a clue what I was doing. And it just worked. And I think that's just because purely I put in that time. And that's that.
No, that's great. And is there a favourite campaign that you've worked on or something that you've had to create that's just been really, really good and really up your street?
I really love the Tesco Christmas campaign.
Okay.
Because that was, you got to pick one of their recipes to recreate at home. And the recipe I picked was a chocolate tort.
Lovely. Love it.
You know, I always like chocolate tort. And
would you'd go out and get the ingredients, yes, you'd create, yeah, the wonderful recipe. It's then all the photography element, yeah, to it. I mean, you do gorgeous like flat lays as well, don't,
yeah,
you?
So
how long would that take?
So from start to, it depends really on what you're creating. So for example, for the Wicked Kitchen campaign, everything was obviously already made. So it's just a case of buying it, put it in the oven, and then making it look pretty. But then for the other campaigns, it would be to create something from scratch. So you'll spend obviously the time buying the ingredients and then the time preparing and cooking. But because you could photograph it, you have to perhaps take that extra care to make sure everything looks just right. You have,
yeah,
to be. I'm not a very OCD person, not a very organized person, but you have to be almost OCD just to make sure everything's perfect. And you have to almost think, how is this going to look on camera? How am I going to style it? So I almost think two steps ahead of myself kind of thing. So when I'm making it or creating it, I'm thinking, what colors will work, how can I style it, how can I make this look even prettier, I guess, or more appealing to somebody who, and make them think, wow, I really want to eat this.
And in your opinion, what can a brand do to get you really excited about a campaign, and sort of what puts you off maybe working with a brand? Is there any that you wouldn't work with? Are there things that if brands approached you, you wouldn't put on your feed purely because you know that your audience wouldn't relate to it? Sort of how do you work out, yeah, who and who not to work with?
Well, 90% of my audience, I think they are vegan themselves. So I think obviously, like I said, I am vegan. So if it was a non-vegan food or a non-vegan product, generally I'd say no. But things like raw honey, Manuka honey, which is obviously not necessarily a vegan product, but it is actually something I have myself. Then yes, I would use that kind of thing. But so yeah, like I said, if it wasn't a vegan product, then obviously it's a big no-no. And then obviously there's the animal cruelty side of things as well. So not all vegan products are necessarily like anti-animal cruelty.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
I mean, even a shampoo and a conditioner
Absolutely,
can have, yeah, those sort of traits.
So
yeah,
it can still be vegan but tested on animals and things, for example. So which I didn't know. I didn't know that until somebody told me, and then I was like, oh my gosh, now I'm gonna have to check
everything. I'm gonna have to check every product,
yeah,
in my
book. So yeah, that was completely new to me as well. So obviously things like that as well.
And do you have a favorite season for food? Like, would you prefer to cook summer food or winter food? Is that something that changes?
It does change for me. And I think it changes how I style my photos as well. So in the winter, I tend to go for my like woody backdrops, like the dark moodier photos.
Autumnal.
Yeah, and bring out that cozy vibe, because, you know, in the winter, you want to feel cozy. You don't want like necessarily bright and airy.
Yeah.
And And then in the summer, obviously, you do want those kind of things.
The lighter, breezy.
Yeah, so I think I do. I think I enjoy styling winter food more. I just like that warmer, cozier vibe. But don't get me wrong, summer is my favourite month. So, you know, month, season. So, so yeah, I do like it all. But it definitely does change. And you have to, like, well, I adapt my styling
accordingly, yeah. And a question I'm sure you've been asked a lot, but I know it will interest our listeners. Do you have a best food hack or tip that you tell your friends or those who follow you?
This is probably really obvious now. It's probably something that absolutely everybody does. But whenever you're using chickpeas, always, always save the aquafaba, the chickpea liquid, because it works in absolutely everything. Honestly,
I didn't know that.
Didn't you? Oh, that's really good, because I thought everyone would know it now. That's really
good.
So
what do you do with it then?
You can do anything with it. You can make meringues with it, because it gets the texture of the egg whites. But then it also works in things like pancakes. It works in cookies. Like my favourite cookie recipes, I use aquafaba in it. In recipes that call for eggs and things, you can use it in place. So you just use 3 tablespoons of aquafaba for a recipe. Say a recipe called for 1 egg, you use 3 tablespoons. If it called for 2 eggs, you use 6 tablespoons, kind of thing.
That's a brilliant hack. I like that one.
Doesn't always work. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I've had disasters, like massive disasters. But yeah, that's my favourite thing. So whenever I use chickpeas in a curry or anything, save the liquid, put it in the fridge, and then it's there ready for baking and things.
Love that. And do your children, they must love that you're such a good cook. Do they have a favourite recipe that's their go-to?
I think they're just so used to always like having these things just thrown at them. I don't think they even realise.
Force-fed.
Yeah, I know. Like last night that I was thinking, oh no, I haven't got that much content. So yesterday I had a bit of a crazy day of making things. And then they came home from school and there was just all this stuff lined up on the table. And they're like, what's that, mummy? I was like, you can have it if you eat your dinner.
Yeah.
But they're like me, they have sweet teeth. They always love brownies, things Aww. Like that. And, you know, I'm a big believer, you need to have a little bit of a treat anyway. I would never be like, you can't eat any sugar, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. I think that creates unhealthy habits in itself. If they want it, they can have it. And I'm quite happy in the knowledge that it's made from more nutritious ingredients anyway.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they have good diets as far as, well, I think they have decent diets. They have better diets than I did when I was a kid anyway, so.
Definitely, with all your homemade cooking, it's brilliant. And it obviously the influencer marketing industry, it's fairly new, but it's booming constantly. I mean, you couldn't be an influencer 10 years ago.
No.
Do you agree with the term? Do you call yourself an influencer?
I feel like, when someone asked me this, they said, are you an influencer? And I was like, technically, I guess I am, but it just...
It's sort of a self-proclaimed title,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I can't call myself an influencer because that just sounds a bit presumptuous for me.
Content creator sounds fantastic. Yeah, I think it's so perfect for you and fitting because your content is just beautifully created.
Thank you.
But what do you make of the whole influencer industry, and have you made friends through like your platforms Instagram? Because it is such a fantastic community.
It is. That's exactly what I think. I mean, Instagram does take time and it takes effort. And I think it's always changing now. You have to comment on loads of things and spend time on there to get that back. But I have got really good friends out of it, and people that I've met in real life. It sounds a bit crazy, but there are people I've met and I really love. And, you know, it's nice because my friends at home, they don't necessarily have those interests like I do. They're not vegan. They're not as interested in the food world as I am. So it is nice to meet people that have that same like-minded, they have those same interests as me. So it is. It's lovely. I really, really enjoy that side of it.
Good. And a question that we ask all our influencers when they come on here, what does influence mean to you?
Maybe that's why I don't like the word influencer, because I don't like the term influence. I don't like the thought that one person could necessarily change someone else's opinion or, you know, make them think, oh, I need that. I want to go out and buy that, or I want to look like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that in my head, that's what it means. I don't necessarily like those connotations but to me, I think it's nice if, I don't count myself as an influencer, but if I can just make people think twice maybe about what they're eating, or just one person, just think, oh, I can actually cut back on meat, or I can...
Or could help them with a health problem.
Definitely. I mean, I love talking to people anyway. I could talk to people for hours. But yeah, so if I could just help one person, just help them to think, yeah, I could do this, or you know, like just something like that. So that would make me really, really happy, just to know that I could do that.
Well, you have an incredible influence on your social platforms. So for those who haven't checked it out, but definitely need to, in a nutshell, what would you say that your sort of social platforms provide for people?
So I like to think, again, it sounds like I don't like it because it sounds like I'm blowing my own trumpet kind of thing. But I like to think there's that inspiration there for people who are looking to maybe cut back on meat or who are looking for more nutritious meals and things like that. So maybe I like to think that there is that, and then hopefully there's something for everybody, and hopefully there's something that everyone can say, wow, that's vegan, like I didn't know vegan food could taste like that or could look like that and be that appealing. So,
well, I think if anyone needs food inspiration, honestly, your Instagram is just fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Oh, we are out of time, but thank you so much for chatting to me.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. It's been so much fun.
Good. No, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And I love talking all things nutrition. I think it's so interesting and it's such a hot topic, and it's going to continue to be because of health. So
it's just, honestly, I have loads of books by my bedside table and they're stacked high and they're all on nutrition.
I love that.
So yeah, that's my bedtime reading.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we'll put all your blog links, your Instagrams, it will all be in the box below so we can do that for you. But thank you all for tuning in again, and we will have another podcast episode next week, and we look forward to you tuning in then. Bye guys.
Bye.